Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Eric Corum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. Today, we're joined by my good friend, Dr. Alex Arbach, a world-class performance psychologist and the former senior director of wellness and development for the Toronto Raptors. Alex is here to share his expertise on staying calm under pressure, a skill that's essential for pickleball players looking to improve their skill and be their best when it matters the most. He's going to provide you three keys to keep your cool that you can apply today. But before we get started, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while and it's provided you with value, please leave us a rating and a written review on whichever listening platform you are joining us from. All right, let's get right to it. So let's lean in and learn from the best. Alex, what are some strategies that we can use to stay calm under pressure situations, specifically in like tournament play, or you're really trying to get after it?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And obviously, nerves are just part and parcel of what it means to be competing, especially at a high level or in something more competitive like a tournament. So a few strategies I would teach to any elite athlete that I think would apply here. The first is starting to think of those nerves, right, as excitement or a sign that you care or as a challenge or an opportunity. That's what's called a challenge appraisal. We want to stop worrying about the nerves, right? And oh my goodness, is this a sign that I'm going to be derailed or something wrong? And start thinking about those nerves as basically helpful fuel, right? This is your brain and body getting you ready to perform. These nerves are a sign that you care. You're ready to go. And if you can shift your psychology to that challenge appraisal, all of a sudden that physiology is going to start working in your favor. You're going to have a little bit more energy to deploy in the tournament. You're going to be a little bit more focused. And so that would be one strategy you could use. The second strategy you could use is something if you're kind of tilted a little bit too far in the nervous range, right? You're having a hard time staying focused. You know, you might do something like box breathing or just general deep breathing, something to actually re-regulate your nervous system through controlling your breath. So that might look like a 4x4 box breath. That might look like a 4-7-8 deep breath. There's no right or wrong. It's really based on what you've practiced. As long as you're controlling that exhale, that's going to help drive your nerves back down. So those would be a couple strategies you could deploy that might help you manage nerves in a bigger situation. And finally, you know, it's hard sometimes when you're in the heat of the competition or heat of the moment, but keep things in perspective, right? If you can just zoom out a little bit and remember that this is, you know, one match, one game, one opportunity, one point, and all you need to do is do your best at this moment, that can help make it a bit more manageable and controllable. So if you start looking at, you know, all the implications of this one tournament or this one game, it might feel a little bit overwhelming. But if you can zoom in to the moment you're taking care of and then zoom back out to recognize this isn't going to define your whole career, this isn't something that's going to make or break you, you'll have this really nice balance where you're focused on the right thing and what's important now without getting too bogged down in the sort of potential implications of the larger moment.
A key word that stuck out to me in what you just said was, you said, like, we're talking about breath work, and you said something that you've practiced beforehand. So this stuff doesn't just show up and happen. How would you start training this in advance? Would you create like practice scenarios where there's, quote, more a lot at stake, or like you're having to come back or something like that, and then try to put something into practice? Like, how do you actually do that? Because when you try to put it to practice in the moment and you haven't trained it before, it's really difficult. If you want to improve your pickleball performance, prevent joint pain and injuries, then it's time to start treating pickleball like a real sport. That means warming up, cooling down, and doing the things off the court, like mobility and resistance training, so you can stay on the court. The AIM7 app is the complete health and performance solution for pickleball, and it's trusted by top athletes like Zane Navratil and Megan Fudge. Whether you're a 3-0 or a 5-0, AIM7 will meet you where you are to bring you to where you want to be with our easy-to-use app that includes step-by-step video warm-ups, cool-downs, mobility sessions for aching joints, and customized resistance training plans. Get your free one-month trial now by clicking the link in the show notes.
Oh, 100%. You've heard the saying, I'm sure, you don't fix a roof when it's raining, you fix a roof when it's sunny out. So, you know, if you're in the moment trying to fix the roof when it's raining, it's going to be hard to plug all those leaks, right? So the way I think about mindset training is just like any other set of training of physical skills you would do, right? You set aside time to practice, you set aside time to play under different conditions, you've had experience getting reps perhaps in more high-stakes situations. And so this is sort of the same thing. You know, you need to practice your breath work pre-practice or pre-competition. You need to practice your breath work when you're at home. You need to practice your mindset skills when you're not on the court. And then you need to practice them when you're just playing or having fun, right? And there's no high stakes or no real competition here. You're just kind of practicing or rehearsing. And so maybe you're doing that in between points. You're doing that right before and right after. And then you need to practice as you get to the higher stakes situations, right? So your first tournament, this is something you need to be deploying and testing and iterating on for yourself. But just like anything else, the more you practice, the better it's going to get and the easier it's going to be. If you try to pull that tool out in the moment when you've never practiced before, it's going to end up looking and feeling a little bit wonky, and it's probably not going to be as effective as it would be, right? And so just like, again, any other physical skill, we just want to start deploying this as much as we can. And then to your point around getting ready for maybe more pressure situations, one of the things we do is like simulation training, right? We know that the better your practice represents the actual conditions of competition, the more likely your skill is to transfer from practice to the game. And so if you can manufacture some pressure in the competition, whether it's putting yourself a few points back from your opponent, right, and shortening the amount of time you have to win or creating other constraints, right, those are all things you can do to sort of ramp up pressure. So for example, like when I was working in the NBA, one of the things we do is just put a team down by 15 points, right, and say, okay, there's 3 minutes to go. Solve the problem, right? Now you can ramp up pressure. You can introduce consequences to losing. There are all sorts of things you can do. The same thing applies here, right? If you can find creative constraints and conditions that increase the pressure, you're going to get a little bit more comfortable with it when you show up to an actual pressure moment. And then, of course, deploy all those skills like the breath work, self-talk, whatever it might be, practice, pre-practice, post-practice, and in competition.
Really smart. I love the simulation training. That was one of the things when I was in football is we would try to, you know, you have these different scenarios. You remember, like, you have like one-on-ones, you have like half line. And so you can put constraints, you can put the offense in a position where the defense kind of is in an advantage position, or you actually let them kind of know that what's going to happen. And then execution is in an absolute premium. And you can build confidence through those types of scenario trainings. And if you do it over and over and over again, then eventually when you show up in a competition, something I've always thought, I was asking a coach once, how do you get a young team to believe that they can win? And he's like, Eric, sometimes you just have to win to believe that you can win more. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you practice it and then you get that first, like, I can do this thing, and then it builds momentum. Do you agree or disagree with that?
To me, it's kind of a yes and, right? So I think there's no replacement for actual experience, right? If you win and then you can slow down enough and appreciate all that you put into that and really like soak up the process to getting to that outcome, you can build some confidence. But confidence can also come from some other sources, right? It can come from a coach just believing. It can come from you believing in a teammate, or a teammate believing in you, or other words of encouragement. It can come from really high quality preparation and starting to recognize that that preparation is exactly what you need to be successful. And yeah, not every point is going to go your way, right? You're going to lose some games that you should win. You're going to win some games that maybe you should lose. But if you prepare well and you do the little things right to get there, you know, you stay focused, you work on your goals, all those things, confidence can kind of build that way. So there's lots of ways to generate that confidence that don't only have to be past success, but past success and getting some reps in definitely helps.
If you enjoyed today's episode with Dr. Auerbach, we got 6 more of these coming with him over the next several months. So be on the lookout for them. Until next time, stay curious, stay consistent, and keep chasing excellence.